Hello and welcome to a much more sober SGR coffee break. We have nursed our hangovers, recuperated, suffered through a weekend, you know, all the good stuff. This is episode number 22, actually. Partied hard like you do. Although, really, according to Carrie last week, we should really be partying now because this is her birthday, of which she got hammered. So,
yes, but no, we're not going to this early in the morning. I got too much stuff to do.
It's noon on the East Coast right now. It is 12:06 on the East Coast.
I still have too much stuff to do.
It's just stuff. It's just
right.
Stuff is job. Writing is more fun if you can't even function a keyboard.
I might get fired. Just, it's a possibility.
I don't know. If you tell Udash that, you know, this is a thing, I'm pretty sure he'd understand. Pretty sure he would understand.
Although with the amount of gaming news that's coming out today, it might make it more entertaining.
Yeah. Gaming news. Gaming news. Oh, God. Well, all the gaming news I saw was Street Fighter 4 stuff, and was just, I shook my head because I was very disappointed. It's just, it's so sad. It's so sad.
Yeah, yeah, apparently, after you pointed out to me, I was looking it up, and some article I was reading, Capcom is like, yeah, we didn't port it. Not us.
Well, then who did?
Sony apparently did.
And Capcom didn't have whatever.
This but, is a
so wait so Sony ported it for, so that means Microsoft had to port it for the Xbox One, right? Because isn't it on an Xbox One too?
I guess. Let's see, I'm not seeing any. I'm sure it is.
I would have assumed that it was. I know that a bunch of people were downloading, maybe. I don't whatever. For those that don't know, Street Fighter 4 came out, the Ultra Super Street Fighter 4 came out yesterday on at least PS4, and apparently there's a glitch where your character just, it looks like the game locks up, and then it goes all 1980s where your character scoots all over the screen, all glitched out, like it's terrible. So why this happened, who knows. I'm just shaking my head because it was so bad. It's so bad. Something so easy, the game was already done, you know, all they had to do is port it, and yet they can't even get that. Whatever. Come on, man.
Do you have opinions on this?
It's so sad. You know, this is the reason why PC gamers always complain about PC games being ported, or console, or like multi-platform games, is because PC gaming usually is kind of like a secondary thought.
Okay.
And they just port it over. So this kind of stuff you kind of get in PC stuff, and then it usually has to be patched, and you have to hope that the companies are decent PC gamers and will patch that stuff out. This is why you see a lot of people getting irritated about it, because this kind of stuff does happen a lot on games that come over from consoles to PC. But
yeah, but at the same time, like with the whole PC, you're also working with a whole bunch of different hardware pieces.
Exactly.
And people that, you know, overclock their machines, or
yep,
different, you know, versions of Windows. Or people that are, you know, hack out the DLLs for whatever reason. So, I mean, it's part, you know, it's partly, you know, the developers or the publisher's fault for reporting it, and partly, you know, just the culture of PC, yep. PC gaming. Just from what I understand, PC gaming is just, patching is just kind of part of it. You just expect it because.
As Ross would say, it is a privilege to do that.
It's a privilege to expect the patching because of of how everyone's customized their machines.
Yeah, it's a privilege because you have customized your machine and made it badass so that way it can run a shitty game. But this is not what we're going to talk about this week. We could be here all day doing this one. What are we discussing this week?
I'm about to start my traveling, and I think you are too.
Oh, yeah. Travel season is upon us.
Yes. Well, for me, it's convention season is upon us. And you, it's just, I'm going to go take pretty pictures of things.
Yep.
Yep.
Or I'm going to go visit my wife because she's going to be gone for 6 months. So.
Oh, jeez.
That starts in like a couple weeks, actually. We already started. She's going to Nebraska. They're starting up a plant down there, so.
Oh, Nebraska. It's so scenic too. There's so much to do.
You know what? They have a Walmart. They have a Walmart. That's about it down in that little shithole town. And then she's always like, well, the Lincoln is only 45 minutes away. I was like, yeah, 45 minutes away of driving through cornfields. I thought Iowa's bad, and then I got to Nebraska and was like, oh, this is so boring. You get up to the top of a hill where like they have an airport, so it's kind of up higher. You get up there and you can see Colorado. It's great. You just look to the west and
Is
there's
that
Colorado.
flat?
It's so boring. It's so fucking boring. I'm like, I don't even know what the hell I'm gonna do. I know I'm gonna play a lot of games in a trailer, that's for sure.
I've never played a Nebraska or Kansas, so I cannot speak to how flat both of those are, but I've heard they're very flat, very full of corn and wheat.
Do you see this piece of paper right here? Yeah, that's about how interesting Kansas, Nebraska. It's terrible.
It sounds like the panhandle in Texas when I visited Lubbock and Amarillo. There's this big joke that Lubbock is so flat that they call the 4-degree incline in the middle of campus the Big Hill.
Oh yeah. So I'll be doing that like every week, every other week I should be down in Kansas, which means every other week I'll have to box up my PS4. Actually, I kind of want to get one of those games units like you got and just keep my PS4 in there.
Yep.
I also
We
debated
go.
on just buying another PS4 and putting it in the trailer. So when I go down there, I've already got the PS4 there, and then I got my PS4 here, and I have to lug stuff back and forth. I haven't quite figured that one out.
For everyone wondering, this is the games case. This is the pretty thing. It's got an HD screen in there and all these little ports so you can plug in your gaming system into it and take it with you. And actually, I have decided I'm taking mine with me this weekend.
Awesome. What is this weekend anyway?
I'm going to, this is actually not a work trip.
Oh,
It's
snap.
probably like my, maybe one of two vacations I'm going to take this year. It's a little weekend trip to Atlanta to see one of my best friends, and we're going to go to MomoCon,
Yay, MomoCon.
which is a, I think it started as an anime con, and it's branched out into video gaming. I wasn't sure if I was going to go because this weekend's also actually my son's birthday. And his last day of school and all that. But then I saw the guest list, and Keith David's going to be there.
Hey, you know what? Your kid will have more last days of school.
Oh, you know,
He'd
I
have
talked to
more
him about it
birthdays.
before I booked it. I was like, sat down with him and talked to him about it. Sean's going to be working. Sean's not going to be around for his birthday either. And I was like, you'll be with your grandparents. And he was fine with that. As soon as he heard he was going to be with his grandparents, he was more than happy. And he had a big party last weekend, so he's fine. But so yes, I'm going. There's a few other video game voice actors, but the big one for me is Keith David. For those who don't know, he's the voice of Captain Anderson in Mass Effect. But the big reason why I really liked him, aside from the fact that he was Keith David as Keith David in Saints Row, he also voiced the Arbiter in the Halo games. So
Oh, so you bringing some games for signing?
I'm going to bring Halo 2 because that's the first time that he was in it. And I just found out there's going to be a panel with him and the voice of Master Chief, which I have no idea who that guy is. But I don't think Master Chief, he didn't really talk very much to begin with, but the Arbiter, he talked a lot and had a really big role. And I always like the Arbiter's character. And while I'm reading the Halo books, I'm like, don't kill the Arbiter. Come on, don't kill the Arbiter. Don't betray the Arbiter. Arbiter's a good guy. Let's be nice. But so I'm looking forward to that. And of course, he's been in several movies as well, such as first one that comes to mind is There's Something About Mary. He was the guy who kept telling Ben Stiller, "I'm just fucking with you." So my friend was like, "I have no idea who that is, but I'll go with you."
Yay.
Well, she's
Yay.
more, I mean, she's a gamer too, but she's still into the anime scene, whereas I have not been since I had kids, because it's amazing how much you don't have time for that, money-wise or time, when kids come in. But anyway, but I am going to be packing. Of course, I'm bringing my 3DS because you can't go to a convention without the 3DS. Because how are you going to get all those street passes?
Oh, the street pass. That's like the only time I ever use a street pass too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like the puzzles. Like, I don't play the Find Me anymore. I did the first Find Me game. Like, I did both playthroughs, and I did the second one once. I was like, fuck that. That was not fun. Not doing that again. So I just do the puzzles. I just really like collecting all those pieces. So I figure between MomoCon and E3 and San Diego Comic-Con, I should be able to complete all those stinking puzzles just in time for them to release another patch and
Add more.
release more. Right.
And side note, while you're down in the dirty, I highly recommend looking up a burger joint called The Vortex. Just.
We've been there.
Oh, well, never mind.
She doesn't like it.
She
She says,
doesn't.
no, she says there are, like, I asked her, because they got featured on Food Network. It's like one of the best burger places. And she's like, oh, yeah, we can go there. I liked it, but she said there's other burger places that she likes. But one place we always go when I visit is, I don't remember the name of this place, but it's an authentic Japanese restaurant.
Nice.
Yeah, so, and I don't have those in Dallas. We have Japanese. I put that in air quotes. We have Japanese. We have the Americanized Japanese. We don't, or like, it's mostly like, the hibachi steakhouses.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a couple that are like, no, we are Japanese. And then I came back from Japan, and I really wanted to find some real authentic Japan tempura. So I went to this authentic Japanese place and ordered the tempura, and it was not fucking tempura. It was whatever the hell we do to fry things Japanese style over here. And they use vegetables aren't even in traditional tempura. I know, because I just got back from Japan. So I've given up on Dallas. Every time I've gone to three different other places in the area, every time a new place opens, like, oh, we're authentic. No. No, you're not. Just because you have sushi and hibachi grill does not mean you're authentic. But this place actually has like katsudon and really good tempura and soba and
Nice.
so much good stuff. So we always go there. It's like my big request. And the only time she really goes is when I'm in town, because she lives I know you're familiar with Atlanta. She lives outside the perimeter.
Yeah.
So therefore she doesn't really, the only time she comes in is when she goes into work. And so when she's not in where this place is, it's not really easy for her to go there for lunch or something while at
Because
work. And
screw 285.
yes, that is what she takes into work. Every time I hear, like, anytime I see anything like in the news about 285 or 85, I'm like texting her going, how's it going today? And she's like, fuck you. Like, her very first time to come to Dallas, I was driving her to the airport, and she said, she's like, can I ask you a question about your roads? I was like, okay. She goes, why are your lanes, why do you only have four lanes? I'm like, I don't even know how to answer that. What do you mean only? She's like, oh, Atlanta, we have seven. I'm like, seven?
Oh,
Because I hadn't been there before yet. And she's like, yeah, and they're all backed up.
it's terrible.
Yeah. So yeah,
So
so
how
that.
hard is it to travel with your games case on a plane? I am curious on that.
Well, I've done it once. I did it when I visited you guys for the
Extra life?
thingy, Extra Life. So I don't check it, obviously. Ain't no way in hell I'm checking that.
Oh, hell no.
That stays with me. So I'll be checking my bag because of the flight restrictions. And I just and that it fits perfectly in the overhead compartment.
So is this one of those things that you have to, like, when you get there, you have to take the console out and put it in its own little
I
bin?
don't take it out, I open it.
Okay.
Because it's, I mean, the because when I did it with y'all, I brought my 360, which is a little bigger of a pain in the ass because it's got that wonderful power brick. When I've taken my PS4, because I've taken it down to Houston a few times, it's so much easier to take because it's thinner. It doesn't have the power brick, so like everything fits in there. I could actually fit two controllers in there. I've only taken my Xbox One in it once, never again. It's too fat, and its power brick is bigger than the Xbox 360s, and it won't fit in the case with the Xbox One.
Good God.
Yeah, so fuck you, Microsoft, and your power bricks. I mean, seriously. So I'm bringing the PS4 because The Witcher 3.
Witcher 3.
I'll get into it more when we talk about what we've been playing, but I don't know if I'm ever gonna finish this game. But I'll get into that later. So I'm gonna be playing that because. Like, because she's a PS4 we're both gamers. We both will be playing most likely. It's because of her I wanted to get Tomb Raider in the first place, watching her play Tomb Raider. I was like, oh, you know, I bet I can handle this. Because I thought it was, like, super platformy, and it wasn't. But actually, she never played a shooter before, so I had to teach her how to shoot. Because there wasn't really a tutorial on how to do that in the game. And of course, I'm bringing the 3DS, and that's not just for the Street Passes. And I'll play some more Bravely Default. No, I have not finished Bravely Default. My problem with Bravely Default is that I get bored. Because the turn-based combat, it's just like, oh my gosh, the same thing. Oh my gosh, because it's got the turn-based plus with the random other random encounters. And so you take two steps, get attacked. Take two more steps. Do this again. This takes forever. And I don't even know how far I am.
Oh, that'll be a good time.
Like if I'm near the end or what? I don't know. But Blake finished it, so I should be able to finish it. I would think. And it can't be that hard. That's mean of me to say, but after hearing him complain about our book of the month, I mean, you think, like, maybe if he can do it, I can do it. So maybe I'll get through that, or maybe I'll just be like, you know what, this is just too boring and forget it. I should have stuck with it. I don't know. Like, it's not a, what's it, last Ease game? Ease, Memories of Salcedo. Mm-hmm. And that one, I sat down on the couch. It was like every single time I had a moment with my Vita, that thing was on, and I was playing it. And Bravely Default, I was like that for a little while and just totally fizzled out.
So I noticed that you didn't say you're bringing your Vita.
I'm not bringing the Vita. I don't want to bring both. It's just too much. And I hate to say this, I don't got anything on my Vita I'm playing.
I totally get that.
And I see all these things, like, on Twitter. It's like, people can't complain there's no games on Vita. I'm like, okay, that may be true. There's maybe plenty of games out there for Vita. There's nothing I want to play. I mean, I guess I could put Axiom Verge on it, but that's not really motivating me too much to sit there and play that. Of course, you know, I did get Mortal Kombat 9, and that could be fun to play in the airport.
Yeah.
But...
So do you actually play games when you're flying, too? Like, you know... You're in the plane, yeah. All tucked into your freaking cramped in seat.
Yes, because I find when I play games, people probably, they're least likely to talk to me when I'm playing games versus reading a book.
I don't read on the plane because then I just fall asleep, but.
Yeah, because I'll have, like, you know, like my headset in. And so the only way I can get people to leave me alone, I'm not a chatty person. I know I chat a lot here, but it's because I know Chris. But like strangers, I'm like, don't talk to me. I don't know you. I don't want to chat with you. Just leave me alone. So then I found out people could stop talking to me when I had a book was to put my iPod in. Because when you have earbuds in, people generally will leave you alone unless they have a serious question. Which I don't mind answering questions. But no, I don't want to sit there and chat with you about your fears of flying or anything else. And yes, I know that's mean of me because some people, they need to talk to get over the fears, but talk to the other person.
The truth has been spoken. Do not talk to Carrie. If you ever see her on a plane, don't ever try.
And so I'll probably do the same thing for E3. I'll be bringing just the 3DS because for E3, I'll be bringing a lot of stuff. Like, my boss is like, my boss has already told me he wants me to bring the fancy pants camera as well. So I'm like, oh, I think it's so heavy and it's such a pain in the ass. Like, I'll bring it to SDCC, but really. Of course, I got to bring the Surface because that's going to be my note taking and writing utensil. I'm so excited. And, of course, then my phone, got my smartwatch, and I bought an extra battery pack so I can charge my phone when in the middle of the show floor when it gets down. So I have all that. And my 3DS because Street Passes, people, Street Passes. The Vita had something as awesome as that. I might be as cool with it, but I just don't see me hauling around on the showroom floor or even on the plane, like, all this extra stuff.
I think the 3DS actually travels a lot easier, too. It fits places. You don't have, you know, it all folds up nicely in that nice clamshell. You don't have the two analog nubs, like,
yeah,
snagging stuff.
And that my 3DS actually will fit in my back pocket, if need be. My Vita does not, no, because you can't shove it in a pocket because of the nubs.
Right. And I've even looked at the pictures of the PS Vita Slim or whatever we're calling that one. Mm-hmm. It's really not any, I mean, yeah, it's thinner and maybe a little bit less wide, but still, it's a hoss of a system. So
Yeah.
that just doesn't travel so well. It almost makes me miss me the Game Boy Advance SP. That nice tiny little clamshell
Yeah.
in like your shirt pocket. That was awesome.
Yeah. See, and that's the other thing with the clamshell thing. It's just like I know you can, hit the power button with the with the Vita and it does the same effect. But it's just something just closing it real quick, no matter what you're doing, and stuffing it in your bag or in your pocket and moving on.
You can
It's
still get all
just,
entry passes. Yay.
well, yes, that's like the most, that's really what you do while waiting in line. I used to bring a book, and now I'm just like clearing out street passes. I'll probably clear out street passes and play Bravely Default while I'm in lines.
Lines.
Only pr
Yay.
I gotta turn the 3D off because otherwise then it won't last longer than 3 hours. So when you're traveling, what are you gonna be bringing?
Really depends.
And not just when you see Megan.
It really depends on where I'm traveling and what I'm doing on the travels. Every year we go see my in-laws down in Arizona. So usually I bring my Vita, my 3DS, and my Surface. The Surface, I have a Surface Pro 1, the very first one. And it's a, even though it's a Intel graphic card, it's pretty capable. It's a pretty capable little gaming machine. I was playing Dark Souls when I was down there at their house. I played, that's about the most graphic intensive game that I played. Other than that, it was like I did Lego, I did a couple of the indie games. So the Surface is kind of a dual purpose thing, because I can also edit photos while I'm there. I can check the internet and all that kind of thing. So the Surface is always a nice thing to take. And the fact that the Surface Pro 1 and 2 are still the smaller sizes, you never have to take them out of the bag, which I love. Just never having to take your crap out of the bag. And just leave it in there and it goes through security. Usually, if I have to choose between the Vita and the 3DS, it usually comes down to the 3DS just because it's a little bit more compact of a system to travel with. I'm not lugging around extra power cords, which is kind of the reason why I want the new Vita Slim because it uses a standard micro USB, so I wouldn't have to bring that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
That's
that's that that
important.
was like the big selling point for me. And then they're like, well, the screen is a little less washed out. So because I still have a lot of games on there that I haven't completed, and I have a very enjoyable time playing it. It's just, the battery life on it, if depending on where I'm flying, I could have a 4-hour flight and the Vita dies within, 2 hours of that. So usually the Vita, the 3DS is a big toss-up for me. And I never travel with consoles unless I'm actually driving. If I'm driving, I'll bring like everything. I'll bring my laptop and I'll bring both the Vita and the 3DS and everything that goes along with it, because I'm just like, I'm driving, I can just pack 8 bags and call it a day. And Megan will look at me, she's like, we're going for 2 days, right? And you brought like everything you own. And I'm like, I may want to read, so I need my Nook. I may want to play some video games, and I don't know which system I would want to play, so I'll bring all that. So, and it's been this way for a long time, actually. Back in the day, I would bring my Game Boy Advance SP because it was, I mean, let's face it, the Game Boy was the only thing you had back in the day, other than the Game Gear.
But that was not compact and
Right.
not easy to take, and the batteries didn't last, so it was like worthless to take on trips.
Nope. So, yeah, I remember fun story is that my wife and I met because I it was right when the new DS came out, and I got that nice white one. I was playing it on the plane, and at this point I also had the PSP, but I'd killed that in the airport because we had a 3-hour layover due to snowstorms. Anyway, so I'm playing my DS, and she looks over and she's like, "Wow, Game Boys have come a long way since I was a kid." And I was like, "Oh shit, a chick talking to me about a video game." And so I started showing her all the stuff that it could do. We ended up talking the rest of the flight, but yeah, as long as I can remember, I've always had I always traveled. We did road trips, so I always had my original Game Boy. And then when I started flying, it was nice because we came up to the Game Boy Advance era at this point, and so at that point I was Game Boy Advance SP, which was that's one system I really miss for traveling because it was so small. It was so easy. You could just shove it in your coat pocket. It wasn't like all bulgy and sticking out. And I like the big screens that we have now, but at the same point, I miss just how compact our systems used to be.
The DS Lite was pretty nice.
Yeah, that was right before we got to the 3D. I guess the original, like my Zelda 3DS, that was still pretty compact.
It's about the same size as the
Relative.
light.
Yeah. So I always have a handheld system with me, always. And then there's, now it's a toss up as to where I'm going. If I'm bringing the laptop, which is loaded up with games, or if I'm going to bring the Surface, which is also loaded up with games. I've slaughtered my 128 gigs of hard drive on that Surface Pro, but although the Surface Pro, while it's nice, I always bring a keyboard and a mouse as well, so I'm really not saving anything. And then it depends on the headphones. I'm terrible when it comes to traveling because I'm always just like, I'm gonna need this, I'm gonna need this. Oh, here's like eight games I'll never play, but I'm gonna bring them just in case because I never know. I'm that person. It's like, I don't know, but I'm gonna be mad at myself if I don't bring it. So I
Right, 'cause if
just,
you don't bring it, you might want it.
And then you bring it and you're like, well, I never played it. You're just, it's terrible. But
Was
yeah.
like the E3 people, they want me to bring my Zelda Monopoly board game. I'm like, well, first of all, that's kind of bulky, and I gotta save room for all the swag that I'm probably gonna, be bringing back with me. Hopefully, it's awful to complain, but like the stuff that I got from CD Projekt Red last year, I was like, oh my God, I did not have room for all this. It was awesome stuff, but it was so much. Not only that, but I'm gonna be so busy. Like, seriously, we're not going to be playing this game. There is no way. Maybe y'all will have time because, there's like 10 of them covering for one site, so they can, totally divvy stuff up. Whereas, I'm on, I'm a one-woman show for this whole thing. Like, my schedule's almost 100% booked. I've got stuff left open for a few other developers I haven't heard back from, but man, like, I already have no lunch scheduled. So I'm gonna be packing beef jerky in with my or turkey jerky, maybe some jalapeno turkey jerky. That'd be good. I pack that in with my 3DS. That and some cookies and string cheese. Lunch champions.
Man, I've always wanted to go to E3, but man, after hearing just how freaking busy it is, I'm like, I think I'm good.
It's a good time, but it's a lot of work. It is, and people who go expecting it to be like a PAX or SDCC where it's just entertaining and it's full of parties. I mean, yes, there are parties at night, but it's not like PAX or San Diego Comic-Con where it's basically a party from the time it starts to the time it ends. If people go who just want a whole bunch of swag, you're not going for the right reasons. Because for me, the swag is like, it's cool if it's there, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here to learn everything that I can learn and maybe get some interviews in and then work my ass off. So it's everyone I know that everyone I've gone with who was expecting it to be like this big fun event and it wasn't a lot of work was left very disappointed. I went to E3 back in 2012 with the Gaming Angels crew. And two of them who went did not realize they had to work. And they were miserable the entire time. Like, they're like, when does this get fun? Like, well, you get fun when you're done working. And they didn't understand why Trina and I went back to the hotel, like, right after show was over and wrote some articles and then went to dinner and then came back and worked some more. And then if we got that stuff done, then maybe we would go out to a party that night that we were invited to. And they just wanted to wait in line and get free stuff all day. So I love E3. Like, I was really sad that one year I couldn't go because I was 8 months pregnant,
Yeah, that ain't gonna work out so well.
No, I went to PAX East that year 5 months pregnant and I was fucking miserable. So I was like, there's no way I could go even bigger than this now. But Some people hate it. They think it's too much, whatever. It's all what you make it. But as long as you go in knowing that it's a lot of hard work, you will enjoy it. So, San Diego Comic-Con, on the other hand, I can't believe I'm doing that again. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me. I can't believe I'm doing that again. Because that's work on top of insanity. Oh my God. So many people. So much stuff.
So busy.
So busy. I'm insane. I may go hang out in the comic section again, because that's where I learned that's where nobody is. In the comic section at a comic con.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. So yeah, so I think the Vita is going to get the shaft again this year. Just in, 'cause I don't see anything coming out on it that I just really
Need to
have to
play.
play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
Which
mean,
is
there's games I haven't finished, like Final Fantasy X or Mortal Kombat 9. Was it 9 or was it just called Mortal Kombat?
It's nine.
It's
It is
9.
called nine, yeah. Well,
Okay.
it's called Mortal Kombat, but it's MK9.
All right. Well, the Mortal Kombat reboot, refresh, whatever it is. I mean, I have those things to play, but I don't know. I just don't see me actually hauling it out. I want to have the 3DS full of street passes. That's just too much juggling in and out of my purse. So, nah, not happening. I'm lazy.
I hear you. And I
Now,
mean,
like when I go like on vacation with my family down to the beach, most likely the PS4 will come, the 3DS will come, and the Vita will come because we'll be driving.
see, if you
Yeah.
go, if you just drive everywhere, it's like, oh, well, I have extra. I'll take it. You never know. You never know.
Well, the PS4 will come because Gabe will want to play Diablo with me.
Well,
He'll
there you go.
want to play Diablo, or he'll want to play some Lego games. So I'll you know we'll he and I will have that because he's the oldest one there. He gets bored, oldest kid, so he gets bored. And then I'll be laying out the pool, the 3DS or Vita, or on the way down, or something if I don't have a book.
You know,
Although then again,
I tried
with the
playing my Vita once when I was in St. John, and that
Kind
screen,
of hard with the screen.
when you're outside, oh yeah, it's
Yeah.
t you're done. You're just like, well, I guess I'm not gonna play that.
No, it's usually I'll read a book. Although with kids, I haven't been able to do any beach reading forever because I'm chasing somebody.
Get out of the water.
Oh, last year the baby, he was crawling at that time. He wasn't walking yet. I was like, okay, he might freak out on the beach. Nope, crawling straight into the waves. So we had to keep chasing him out of the water.
Oh, awesome. So
That's
much
gonna
fun
be,
playing games.
yeah, it's gonna be interesting this year since now he can walk, and he doesn't really walk. He runs everywhere he goes.
Oh, hey,
Yep.
gotta get there in a hurry.
It's like full speed.
Thank you, brother. Well then.
Yeah.
Well, now that we know how we all travel, and we know that obviously driving by car is a much better option.
Well, for bringing all your stuff, yes.
I mean, come on, you never know. You never know if you're going to need that one scorpion statue that's sitting on your desk to cheer you up. So just bring it along, just in
I
case.
do know I will not need that.
Hey, I never know. I never know.
Oh, God.
It's even harder when you're traveling with camera gear because I have to limit what toys I bring because I shoot a lot
Oh.
of toys on my it's and that takes it actually I can pack all my clothes for like a 2 week trip because I did this last year. I can pack for 2 weeks. I can pack all my clothes in a matter of 10 minutes. Packing the toys is like a 4 day ordeal because I'm like, okay, am I gonna need no, I don't think I need the Lego space, but you never because we do nighttime shots, so the spaceman, but you know, oh yeah, it's try figuring out my toys is way harder than figuring out what video game systems I'm gonna bring. That's
Yeah,
nice
see,
though,
I don't have that problem.
even on a 2 week photo trip. I think I broke out my 3DS on the plane once. And then on the trip home, I was so exhausted from being from traveling for 2 weeks. I was just like, oh, look, headrest. That was the end of that. So, I mean, that was one of those times I was like, I got home, I started unloading stuff. I was like, wow, you never really played these. You could have left these home and saved yourself about 2 pounds worth of weight. Congratulations, Chris.
I think I did that after E3 last year. I was like, okay, I need to write on the plane. And I sat down, got my laptop out, and they're writing, writing, and the head's just going closer and closer to the tray table. I was like, ah, screw it, close the laptop, rested my head on it.
Oh, good times. I hope that wasn't the recycling trash can, guys. Oh well. So, what have you been playing this past week?
Well, the eldest and I have been playing more Diablo 3. Even though Magda cannot be killed with one hit, because she actually throws up the little invisible barrier. Oh, who's that next boss in there?
While.
Zoltan Kuhl. Okay, so because there was two of us, I forgot when you have two more than one player, they summon more. He summons more stone golems. So there was two, and I was like, oh, crap. So I told Gabe to get behind me. And I shot one, and it happened to line up all three. And because I had the piercing arrow, went phew, through all three of them and killed them all. Which was really kind of awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Even Gabe was like, wow, that was so cool. And it's like this fountain of gold everywhere.
Yeah, gold shower.
Yes. So he knows the drill. I go run through the gold. He can go through all the armor because I don't want any of it. Because none of it's going to be powerful enough for me anyway. So he is, I mean, it's really kind of cute because he does get bored with it after a while because he's almost 7. But he really wants to help me get that last trophy. And he always talks about how he wants to be there when I get that last trophy. And he's like, what's going to happen when you get it? I was like, well, when I get it, I'm dropping the controller. You're dropping yours. We're importing our saves over. And we're just going to play on the newer one.
That's always a wise decision.
It's like, okay.
Oh, brother.
Yeah,
So, how close are you to that trophy now?
I'm 2.1 million gold away.
So, 2018, you'll be done. Okay.
No. It's going to happen this year. I'm making it happen this year.
Oh, you're gonna be playing this a lot. This better be
Well,
on this.
yes.
This better be on your list every
Well,
day.
okay, I told it almost is, but I told you like, well, my plan is to build up every character, every class to level 60. So, I figure if I do that, I'll get there. And then while playing the multiplayer with my son, there's more gold sprouts then. And of course, then every time I pick up some new armor, I'm just like, okay, that lowers my stats for this, but it increases the gold drop from monsters. So I gotta swap that out. But yeah, so I'll get there. I will get there, and then you won't have to hear me talk about it ever again. You hear me talk about getting the platinum in the other Diablo 3.
There we go.
Yeah, so. And I finally started playing The Witcher 3, which I didn't play over the weekend because my parents were in town and they stay in the office when they're here. So I waited until Monday, and I've played. Last night got my game time got cut short because we had really bad thunderstorms and the power went out.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, really good times. So I've played about 4 hours of it, and I haven't finished the prologue. Because side quests.
So many question marks.
Oh, it's almost like Skyrim. You open up the map, and it's like, oh my god, what's that? What's that? What's that? I'm gonna go look at all of this before I even leave this area. Yeah. Except that unlike Skyrim, there's actually a decent story, so more motivated to go along the main path. But the thing is about the strategy. But I'm using the strategy guide like while I'm playing it, and I really like how it, so far I'm really enjoying it and how it presents so much of the choices. Now I need three frickin' bookmarks in it because of the main path, the side quest section, and then the contracts. Oh yes, the contracts are different from the questing section. So I have all of that. So come on, Prima Games, you've made a really nice guide. You couldn't throw in like three little bookmarks, like some ribbons or something. Like you don't have to put in like the nice leather ones like you did for Dragon Age, but come on, three little ribbons would have been nice. So yeah, so I got like three bookmarks going on with it, and so I don't do anything. Like anytime like a dialogue choice comes up, I'm like, what does this thing say? Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay, I'll do this. What if it's gonna take me forever? And there's like what over 40 different endings. I'd like my first one to be like my personal best ending, and then I can fuck things up later.
Then I can fuck things up from there. Then well, I can just kill everybody. That's it. It's, I mean,
well, there's really, plenty of times where he could be a complete asshole.
Hey, look, if you just played the Vlad way, it would be pretty
actually,
easy.
Every single time a choice comes up, and, you know, they're like, we don't have very much, but here, I totally imagine you going, gimme. Where I'm like, oh, no, it's okay. You can keep your money.
What? No. No, you take that shit. In fact, if there's an option to force them to pay you more, you force them to pay you. You risked your life for those prick bastards, and they owe you. I mean, if you had, if you died and had to reload your save, isn't that worth a little extra gold?
That's well, there was this one option. I didn't realize that I could do this, but like it's very early on. Like I said, I didn't left the prologue yet, but I left outside this tavern, and these guys basically jumped me. They don't like witchers. They call them mutant freak. And they're like, basically like, we don't like your kind around here type thing. And so a brawl starts. Well, it wouldn't, I was like, well, I don't kill these assholes. So I tried to get out my sword and it wouldn't, I guess I didn't press the right button or whatever. So I just like, you know, beat them to a pulp and just knocked them out. Well, apparently you could get your sword and just hack them to pieces. And it totally changes how everyone sees you. Later on. Oh, Chris, did we lose you? Or did you lose me?
No, he came back.
Okay, because like you've been frozen for a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, internet.
Oh, yay, internet. So, but I was imagining you, was like, oh, he totally would have like killed them all and looted their bodies.
Shit, yeah. If they jump you, they're asking for it. I mean, at that point, yeah. They're like, if they're calling you names, you gotta put them to rest.
Yeah, they because I was reading in the guide, and it's like, yeah, you could have killed them and taken all their stuff, but then the town will run you out and...
Then kill the town and burn it.
Oh, you're mean.
We'll never... Yeah. Vlad and you will never be a couple ever in this
new
game world.
Not.
It will never happen.
I was hoping to say, hey, I started Final Fantasy 14. Since I kind of want to get, you know, that going through since Heaven's Ward comes out next month. And well, I wasn't prepared for an hour and a half setup. And yeah. That's before I even started my character. Because I had all these codes that I had to register. And I had to figure out where to register them. And I had to go on these online FAQs to figure out where to register the codes. And it's like, oh, no, for that one, you have to go to the PlayStation and register it there. And then download the unlock. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So yeah. Did that. And then I had to install the client for the first time, which took an hour.
Yeah, it's a big download.
Yeah.
It's a big
download. And then I had to clean out my PS4. Because it said I no longer have enough room to record or take any screenshots. Like, so I had to go and install some stuff, which makes me like want to upgrade my hard drive to like, I don't know, a 60 terabyte hard drive is like what's going to take for PS4 games, because dear Lord. And so the thing, like, I had to leave it running when I went to go pick up the kids, and it was still going when I came back.
Yeah, it's a long haul. I think when I did it, I started on Saturday and just let it go on I forget when I did, but yeah, it took a day to do that. And by the time you're all done, and then the part you haven't done yet is A, create your character, mm-hmm. and B, set up your screen. Because you can also move all the elements on the screen and change their sizes. Yeah, just getting things situated to the point where you're like, I can play this setup. And then you're like, nope, that isn't working out. I need to move this. So then you're back in town, rearrange. Yeah. Be prepared.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. This is character and screen simulator.
Okay.
So at least that's what I do. Cause there are certain things that I get used to, like having a map in a specific location, having mm-hmm. your action bars. Cause you can either do it off the controller setup or you can actually use a keyboard and mouse. Don't use it on the PS4. Cause it's really kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
I do recommend using a keyboard, though, for typing, because it makes chatting a whole lot easier than using that stupid on-screen keyboard thing that you get. So you can use any Bluetooth keyboard. Just sync it up.
Okay.
And you can even, I believe you can even use any
Can I
USB.
use my Mac one? Is this Bluetooth?
I think you can. I think I've
Huh.
read that you can. Because really
Interesting.
all you're using is the key, the actual letter keys, the numbers, and the enter key. So, or
Or I
return.
may just bring up my iPad and have it sync up as a second screen for the keyboard.
I've never done that, so I don't know how
I
that
see
works either.
I have the PlayStation app on my phone and on my iPad, and it's really kind of nice so that whenever you're typing in codes or whatever, you can just use the touchpad on your phone or on your iPad.
Oh, I never knew that. Maybe that's easier. I don't. I got a Logitech keyboard, so it syncs up to three Bluetooth devices. So I have my secondary device is the PS4 one. So.
I remember you showing me that, and I wanted to get it, and then I never did because, well, life keeps happening.
So, but yeah, it's a. I mean, once you get all this stuff set up, it's a good time. And then I found out that if you own it on both the PS4 and the PS3, the invisible borders that I kept finding are the PS4. I kept finding that the invisible borders, so I couldn't actually drag my chat window all the way to the bottom of the screen. It keep hitting this invisible barrier. Well, apparently I did. I downloaded it on the PC and started playing it on the PC, and that unlocks something between the two versions, and I was in screwing around, all suddenly I could move everything to the edge of the screen. I was like, oh, okay. I don't know why that works, but hey, I'll take it now.
That's weird, but okay.
It's yeah. On the list of cumbersome games to set up and get into, this is pretty much one of the top five for me, because it's yeah. All those codes, having to link the accounts, which a lot of people have problems getting the account linked.
Well,
And
the first things I did do, because I happened to see you had to link the accounts, I was like, crap, what is my password? So I actually did get into the PC version on my PC to make sure I still remembered my password. And then what I didn't realize is that it wouldn't accept my email address as my login. So I had to get on the computer, like, what is my freaking account number? Because I know it would not accept Crunchy Chocobo. So I looked at it, I was like, oh, okay, fine, God. Well, I got that all set up and I was like, okay, now we're gonna like download this, 15 gig thing.
And next month you'll have to do it all. Well, I have to download a whole nother big patch. It's a good time.
Probably.
It's a good time. Well, maybe in 2 months we'll be playing together.
Oh, we'll see. See how I'm gonna handle that playing two RPGs like that at once.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. So, what have you been playing?
Let's see. I played more Assassin's Creed Chronicles China. And we'll talk more about this later on tonight, obviously with the Book of the Month. But Ross came out to watch Mad Max with me and Megan. And so the movie ends. Megan's in the bathroom. Ross and I are kind of talking about, the Book of the Month thing. And he's like, "How far are you?" And I said, "I got through the second fire stage." And he goes, "What do you think of those?" I was like, "I think they're like the best part of the whole fucking game." He's like, "I know, right?" And I was like, "I don't know why Blake is having such a hard time." And he's like, "I know, right?" And I'm all, it's just that whole you're running through the stage, just sliding under people, stabbing them in the crotch, and they die. And Ross brought up a good point. It's like all the guards, the fucking whole town is burning, and the guards are just like, "Oh yeah, this is great. Yeah. Oh look, a bird. Oh," and he dies. Meanwhile, all the inhabitants are f running around, fucking freaking out because the world is burning down, and the guards are just. Yep, I'm going to keep my back face towards this direction. So that way, an assassin can run through here and just stab me into my balls or jump up and knife me in the back of the head. Whichever one works. Anyway.
There was the first two were okay. Second one was a little more frustrating, but like once you learned, like it's because the second one, more than the first, was more about learning when to slide, when to jump, and some of the problems were like you couldn't tell where to jump until after you die. I was like, oh, okay, that's where I need to go. It was the third one where it brought in, yet you had to kill. Where you get surrounded by guards and how to deal with that got there was this one little area and we'll probably talk about it tonight. I don't know if you've gotten to it.
Oh,
If you've gotten to
I won't be completing this tonight. I can tell you.
it. Okay, well, there was just this one where I had the hardest time figuring out exactly what they wanted to do. And it took me a while to figure that I was like, you know what? Screw the guards. I can't kill them fast enough. I'm not quick enough, and they always see me. So I had to get my those dodge roll attacks where you roll over them. I when I finally figured that out and I was able to time it and get over both of them and I could run, because then they both get caught up in the fire, and I wouldn't have to worry about it. But if I tried to kill them, I would get killed every single time. That was really the only part I really had a major problem with. I didn't enjoy them, but it's one of the things I also don't like races, and I don't like timed events, and that was kind of both of that. So, but I didn't find, they didn't kill my enjoyment of the game or anything.
I don't know. To me, it's still a really great game. It's just one that I play for a little bit, and then I get sick and tired of repeating the stage, because apparently I can't force myself to just stealth kill everybody and move on. I don't know why.
You have to shadow it?
I shadowed the shit out of this game.
Well, then I guess you're not going after very many collectibles, because I don't know how you can with just shadowing.
No, it's pretty doable. No, because there's been times where, like, if there's a collectible I want to get, I will actually kill somebody to get to where I got to go. Because there's one where you got to save the prisoners, right? Mm-hmm. There's been a couple of times where you come out on a ledge and there's a guard right below you and he's staring right at the prisoner. It's like, well, I could try to distract it or knock him out. Or I could just drop down and kill him. I'll just drop down and kill him because it's way easier. So I do that, but I haven't completed like all the secondary objectives on all the stages because I'm always missing one. And it's always something that happens way in the back because it happens before your eagle vision. So that way you can see everything and you're like, oh, that was way the fuck back there. I can either backtrack and try to go get it or, yeah, fuck it.
Well, not only that, but if you backtrack and try to go get it, if everyone's still alive.
Yep. It's harder to go in reverse than it is to go forward.
But the cool thing is, like, when you finish, you can do a new game plus, which I haven't done yet, and I want to. It's one of the many things. Like, I want to do it. Mm-hmm. And so you start the game over, but you have all of your abilities and all your stuff.
Oh, well, I see. That's nice.
So it'd be easier to go back through and get the
all the collectibles,
yeah.
So, yeah, I've been playing that. Like I said, I play it for, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes to an hour, usually, while I'm drinking coffee, watching a stream. Then, let's see, what else have I played? I played more MKX. There was a big combo breaker fighting game tournament this last weekend, and Mortal Kombat was one of the best games to see. And, man, the player level since this game has come out has just substantially gone up. It is ridiculous, the combos and what these guys are doing now. It's amazing.
I really wanted to watch it, but I knew I couldn't.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And then on Sunday night, when they actually had the grand championships for that, it came down to the very last game, and man, it was crazy because both players were really solid, and you knew that if whoever landed the first hit was probably going to win, and somewhere in the middle, it turned, and you thought, oh wow. This is crazy. Can he actually pull it off? Can he not drop the combo? And he didn't drop the combo, and he won. It was just like, holy crap. I almost got up out of my chair. I was like, holy shit, that was awesome. Man, it was really cool because you can see, unlike Street Fighter 4 or even like Guilty Gear or Killer Instinct, this one I'm not seeing a lot of people playing the exact same character. It's like, yeah, your top, when it gets to the top eight, I will say they all kind of play roughly the same characters.
Is it still Kung Jin?
Kung Jin kind of got a bit of a nerf, but yeah, you still see quite a few Kung Jins, but the top eight, you saw, you had a Kung Jin, you had a couple Raidens, an Aaron Black, a Goro. That was pretty much it. But yeah, like Kung Jin's, you know, he can still 50-50 you, which is he can do a massive combo and takes 50% of your life, but it's much easier to break now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was cool because, like, I'm an Aaron Black. Aaron Black is my shit. That's the guy who I'm pretty much focusing on right now. And it was cool to see a Kung Jin an Aaron Black guy take it all the way up to the grand finals and make it to that very last stage, to get beat out by a Raiden. So it was nice to not have Kung Jin just destroying it. I mean, there was also a patch that came out. They've been patching the game, fixing some bugs and all that. So there's been, you know, there's Scorpion players or Sub-Zeros. There's Takeda, which everybody at first thought was shit. And now all of a sudden I'm seeing a lot of Takeda players now. And it was cool because Unlike Street Fighter 4, where it's usually a Rose or a Poison, an Evil Ryu, there's like five characters that you generally see a lot of. And with Killer Instinct, there's two characters that a lot of people just mainly focus on. This, you never really knew what to expect. And if people were getting beat, they were going to the secondaries, and all of a sudden they'd start kicking ass with their secondaries. And you're just like, oh, okay. Ermac was another one that was right up there too. And it's just, I'm guessing that as we progress through this game's life, people are finding out that they're really, yeah, they're people are trying to create tier lists, creating, this is a top tier character. You want to play as this, and you want to get their combos down. But you may have those tier lists, and then all of a sudden somebody comes up with like this third level tier character and just kicks the shit out of people. And you're like, oh, well, I guess that character is not so bad anymore. So I don't know what they've done with this game, but to me, it seems like they've got it really well balanced. And it's really nice to see because when you're watching fighting game streams, and now fighting game tournaments are coming out pretty much almost every weekend now,
Well,
great
it's
to see
nice
that.
to also hear that it's not just Scorpion, 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 Sub-Zero, Sub-Zero, Sub-Zero. It's one thing I've kind of liked in the last few times that I've logged into MKX. And I've looked at like the faction leaderboards. It's not
Okay.
how it was that first week where it was just rain, 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 scorpion, 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 scorpion. Now it's much more bigger
Wait,
variety.
and the factions are actually like every time I log in and the faction war ends, there it's a different faction now. It's not just White Lotus or Lin Kuei. It's, and they all there's usually three of them that are all really close to each other.
Black Dragon's always up there.
Yeah,
As
it's
well,
just they've done a really good job with this game.
I'm never
I
gonna win with this with my special forces.
You never know. A lot of people were playing Cassie Cage.
Cage.
There's a really good Sonya Blade on there too. That was it's
I haven't
yeah.
played in so long. Every time I do play, I'm like, oh, now I have to relearn like how to do this. I've lost like my rhythm because you really do really lose your rhythm with this stuff.
That's why you go in the training room and just kind of
Yeah,
work off the
I'm in the
ropes.
training room a lot. Of course, like I keep going through the classic towers because I want to go through with every single character. So that is almost like playing the story again, where you get a new character and like,
Oh,
how
got
do I
through
do this? Okay, yeah. Or I'll
So.
go in and practice the fatality with them first, because like, okay, where is their jump distance? Oh, okay, so because like Cassie Cages is a bitch, man. You gotta get hers. Because like Sonya is her fatality is really easy because hers is up close, but Cassie Cage is it's a certain distance away because she fires her gun, so that was like so and I it's usually luck and I know it's just take a matter of practice that you would be able to sight it and see exactly, which I know that's where most people like you go. You find your characters that you like and you practice them and you practice them. Of course, if you do the easy fatality, which I've done a few times just because I wanted to see like the ones that aren't unlocked yet because I haven't purchased them through the crypt. I've always wanted to see what he'd look like. You don't have to be, there's no distance
Distance,
for any of that. You just
execute it.
you can just execute it.
So,
Which is how I was able to see Cassie's selfie. Her because that one I haven't found in the crypt. I haven't gone through the crypt in a while. I haven't played that game in a while too. That game was fun. There's so many games that like I miss playing like on a regular basis. Like Dragon Age Inquisition, man. I miss it so much.
I
But
wish that I need to get it on top of that.
now I got, Witcher 3 and
Ah, time.
that this is why I culled out my stack of shame.
Yeah, I need to do that. I need to do that. Let's see. What else have I been playing? More GTA 5 with my brothers. I'm actually now playing with two brothers. Destiny, for whatever reason, I don't know what
You got a
changed.
problem, man.
I do, because I don't know what changed between when I first started playing it, because I got to like, level 20. I was like, okay, well, this is whatever. And now I'm just like, I think it's because I'm playing with my brother and Blake as well. Like Blake will send me a text every once in a while at night, and we'll be like, "Okay, let's play." So we'll do it. I honestly don't know why. It's to me, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm really enjoying Destiny again. And I also found out that if you take a like a week and a half off of Bloodborne, while yet the guide from Future Press, I will say this: their guide is pretty fucking fantastic. Does not compensate for the lack of skill.
Well, yes, but Bloodborne sounds like it's almost like, you know, Mortal Kombat. Like, when you get out of that groove,
oh yeah,
once you get out of, you know, getting so used to, it's the same like with any RPG or action game, like Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, that's the other one that I wanted to download this past weekend was Wolfenstein. Anyway, so I also played Bloodborne, been working on that guide review. It's actually reading the guide is kind of changing up how I was first approaching the game. Because there's people that I was going to kill, and then I was like,
Have you finished the game?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Ross beat it before I did.
Yeah.
No, because I got stuck on a part, and then when I found out we were getting the guide, I was like, oh, well, fuck it, I'll just wait till we get the guide. And then apparently I started playing Destiny, and that was a mistake. But yeah, there's been a couple times where there's a couple guys that have been a thorn in my ass, and I've just been like, I should just finally kill them and be done with it. And then I read the guide, and it was like, well, you can kill them, and this is what they drop. Or you can do this and meet this person who is not that much further away. You just have to survive to get to that person and talk to them. And all of a sudden, you have a totally different situation with that guy that was kicking your ass. So you decide what you want to do. And I was like, well, I'll kill him in New Game Plus.
There you go.
Because, you know,
you keep all your stuff and you do New Game Plus.
All your stats, your stuff all comes over during New Game Plus. Awesome. But what happens on any of the Souls game, what happens in New Game Plus, and as you advance through the New Game Pluses, you'll actually have different enemies that start spawning. Some patterns will change. Bosses, like you'll get different couple new enemies that will just all suddenly start spawning up, and you're like, oh, that wasn't there before, and oh, what the fuck are you? I don't remember you. Some patterns will change, you know, so... It's always good to go at least any of the Souls game, go through it at least twice, do the first one and then go through the second time and, you know, change it up a little bit. You know, if you saved one person, kill them the next time and see how the game changes, because it does make a dramatic difference on how some of these things play out. So yeah, back into that. I am enjoying it. Although I died, I think like 6 times on Saturday, and I was like, nope, fuck it, I'm done. Because I was getting ready to throw my controller, and I was like, nope, stop, don't break this controller, although I need a new one because my controller's getting worn out, so. So. And that's what I've been playing. So, Carrie, take us home.
Yeah, so I guess we might as well just wrap this up because we're going to be doing this again here in a few hours, but this time with alcohol, and I won't be in my badass yoga clothes. Or will I? Maybe I won't shower today. No, I'm already feeling gross. Okay, all right. If there's anything you would like us to talk about, leave us a comment on this post with what you would like us to chat about. I'm getting a lot of questions about the Witcher 3 guide from the YouTube video. So if you have any questions about that, you can feel free to eat. You can leave a comment here, or you can email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com. We have a Twitch channel, and this summer I really want to do more of the Twitch channel since the summer is going to be kind of vacant. I know with me traveling and Chris traveling, it's going to be a little hard, but that may be an opportunistic time to do the Dragon Age Origins, Carrie commenting on Vlad the Heartless.
Yeah, we could do that.
Session. But we'll work that out more later because my June looks like hell. I don't know about you, but my husband's going to be gone the entire month. So.
Yeah, and with me being on the road, my data cap will be not so much of an issue. And I did do a test stream and looked the next day to see how badly my data went. It wasn't too bad. It's not something that we're not going to be able to stream every day. It might be.
Definitely not.
So there's that.
All right, but you can also talk to us on Twitter. Chris is at Starvin. I'm at Crunchy Chocobo. And the site is Strategy Reviews. And, of course, we ask you to keep on reading SGR. Chris is working on Bloodborne Guide. I'm working on the Witcher 3 Guide. I should have that done by 2017. No, Primo, I'm not going to do that. I will focus on it, I promise. Don't yell at me. All right, so, well, that is it for the coffee break this week. We will catch you next week. Yes, like I'm not out of town yet. Next week.
Next week it is. And with that, we are out. Peace.